This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The 140-mile-an-hour winds of a massive and deadly Hurricane Helene slammed into Florida's Big Bend late last night, bringing storm surge of up to 20 feet. At least three people have been killed in Florida and Georgia. Flooding and destruction are widespread. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
Car driving on I-4 near Ybor City in Tampa was hit when a sign fell onto the highway.
Jefferson County Sheriff Mac McNeil is concerned some people may be trapped.
They were going to stay in a mobile home or a home that was in a low-lying area. They could register with us, and we got this list, and our deputies, while they're out getting these roads cleared, we're going to check on those individuals to make sure they're okay.
Helene has now weakened to a tropical storm over Georgia with winds of up to 70 miles an hour. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson says water is the big danger.
Just as much as a foot of rain already. Then we add additional rain. So that's what we're going to be seeing here moving through portions of South Carolina and Georgia, another 6 inches or more potentially here. That's where we're watching for flash flooding.
In New York City, Mayor Eric Adams defiant after he was indicted on federal corruption charges.
I look forward to defending myself and defending the people of this city.
He's scheduled to be in court this morning for arraignment. Former President Donald Trump scheduled to host Ukraine's Volodymyr Zelensky at Trump Tower in New York. CBS's Michael Toscano.
There was some doubt about whether the two would see each other while Zelensky was visiting the U.S. Trump has been highly critical of U.S. support for Ukraine. And Zelensky has been critical of Trump, saying he, quote, doesn't really know how to stop the war. But Trump said Zelensky requested the meeting.
A new range of products made in China become more expensive in the U.S. today. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
New tariffs on everything from electric vehicles, solar cells, steel, aluminum, and semiconductor chips are taking effect. The Biden administration had announced new tariff hikes back in May on certain Chinese-made products. However, these are likely to impact a relatively small amount of U.S. imports.
Medical experts say it's a potential game changer for people with schizophrenia. The FDA has approved the first new class of treatment in decades. Cobenfy is what it's called, and experts say it could help stabilize symptoms like muscle tremors, drowsiness, and weight gain brought on by antipsychotics. S&P futures are down 4, Dow futures off 5. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
On the next Midday Magazine, we wrap up the week with the ADRC in Part 1 and Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools in Part 2. Listen every Monday through Friday, 4 to 5, right here at WFHR.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Marathon County District Attorney is investigating the mayor of Wausau for moving an absentee ballot drop box into his office Sunday. Meanwhile, good government groups are also considering their legal options. Nick Ramos heads the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
I want to give them an opportunity at the local level to be able to resolve the situation, but I can tell you that I've already started to speak with some attorneys about what are the options that are on the table.
Mayor Doug Denny and other city leaders disagree whether what he did was legal. The Better Business Bureau says scammers are posing as investment brokers. Spokeswoman Lisa Schiller says victims have lost a lot of money hoping for big returns. She says anyone you don't know who wants your money for a so-called sure thing is likely just trying to rip you off. As usual, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
A potential playoff preview begins tonight. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Brewers are locked into the NL's third seed and will play in next week's wildcard round. This weekend, one of their potential playoff opponents, the New York Mets, are in Milwaukee for a three-game series. The playoffs begin Tuesday. A familiar face awaits on the opposing sideline this Sunday. Vikings running back Aaron Jones will play his first game against his former team. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur said there's still a lot of love for Jones in Green Bay.
You can't help but, you know, love the person and who he is and what he's all about and his family. I mean, they were always around, and you know, you gotta, no different than when I go against my brother, you gotta shut it off for a period of time, and then you know, you can hug him after the game and tell him you love him.
The team has not announced whether Jordan Love will play after missing 2 weeks with an MCL sprain. Kickoff is at noon on Sunday. I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
This little summertime in September thing we have going on here is going to hang around through the entire weekend. Today, sunshine, 81 our high this afternoon. Tonight, clear, low of 52. Tomorrow, sunny, 80. Then on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high right around 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Maggie Dawn.
It is fabulous Female Friday on the Maggie Dawn Show. Folks, we've got historian Heather Cox Richardson and Senator Tammy Baldwin. You are not going to want to miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Friday morning, September 27th, 2024. 39 days till Election Day, and it's another beautiful day to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the Civic Media app, on demand by podcast, or on your favorite social media channel. Thanks for starting your day right here and your weekend as well. I got a question for you. It is Packer season, but it's still really pleasant out there. A little too warm for my green and gold flannel shirt, so I hope y'all don't mind. Do you mind if I have the Brewers Hawaiian shirt on instead, getting ready for the postseason? Because that, too, is coming up in just a matter of days, so we'll talk Brewers. We'll talk Badgers, we'll talk Packers, all coming up in just a little bit, along with some of the headlines of the day, which include a visit from Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kiev Akil. We'll talk about Congress passing another short-term stopgap spending bill because Republicans in the House won't reach agreement on a bipartisan budget for an entire year. So they're kicking the can again, this time until December. Even so, Ron Johnson, Derek Van Orden, and Tom Tiffany apparently all would rather have a government shutdown right before Election Day. Doesn't seem like a great idea. Tiffany is also spreading misinformation about a duplicate ballot situation in Wisconsin that we'll tell you about. In our second hour, we'll talk to Mark Jacob, veteran Chicago journalist, about how Elon Musk has turned Twitter into, well, a dumpster fire is the terminology that we use all the time. The thing is, a dumpster fire spews a lot of smoke, and basically it's information pollution. That's Mark's term for it, and we'll talk about that as well. Brittany Merlot's forecast, Dan Schumacher coming up to talk sports, and along the way, you can join us at 855-75-CIVIC, again, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call that number or text it, or you can call or text us through the Civic Media app, where next hour, one more time on Up North News Radio, we'll give you a keyword that you can text to us for a chance to win a daily prize and maybe some tickets to see the green and gold in Green Bay come December. And if you're watching us on the Up North News Facebook page or the Up North News YouTube page, you can always put a question in the comment section or comment too. And our email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Again, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. It's 6:09 on the button right now. Let's head down to Waukesha, where Greg Bach is standing by. Actually, not once has he been standing by. He has always been properly seated with good posture, his hands at 10 and 2 on the wheel, driving this control board through your radios right now. And he puts it in park. He's a very good parallel parker, steps out and says to the radio audience,
"Look at this fine American-made automobile of radio. I'm driving it all the way to your home, to your car, to your ear holes, so you can enjoy the dulcet tones of one Pat Breitlow."
We really are like the, we're the gremlin of, or the pacer of radio cars.
Oh, I was going to say the Edsel, but okay.
That's a Studebaker. Actually, yeah. You know, a bear in his natural habitat, a Studebaker. Miss Jim Henson. What is happening at the Laughing Tap this weekend, Mr. Bach?
Pat, it's not just what's happening at the Laughing Tap this weekend. We've got so much going on comedy-wise. I'm glad you asked me. First of all, this weekend, three shows. Tonight, two tomorrow. So 7:30 tonight, 7:30 tomorrow, 10 o'clock tomorrow. David Drake is coming to town. He is from Chicago originally, is now living, I believe, in New York. He is a monster comic. He has released 5 records, I think, in 6 or 7 years. He is fantastic. He is very, very funny. The lineup is great. Those tickets are able to be purchased at laughingtap.com. $22 online, $25 at the door. No drink minimums. Come on down. Have a great time. Tickets are going. We want to see you down there because the fall is coming and people are kind of getting done with being outside. You know, the flannels are coming on. The pants are starting to replace shorts. And
people are putting on pants.
They're putting on their full version of shorts, which is called pants. And we're going to have great. But then starting Tuesday of next week, we have the Milwaukee Comedy Festival, the 19th annual Milwaukee Comedy Festival, which is 6 days, 1st to the 6th. Shows every day, and performers from all over the country coming to Milwaukee to perform for you. And we have great headliners, Adam Caton Holland, who's been on HBO, and Maddie Ryan, who's been on Comedy Central. And those tickets are available at mkecomedyfest.com. It's going to be a fun time. It's going to be a lot of work, but, you know, it's fall, so that means it's Comedy Fest time.
That's right. Well, good. Good luck with that. I have a serious question about comedy.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned that your headliner coming up here has put out like maybe 5 records.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I love hearing that, records that somebody said. Because, you know, but seriously, you know, when you think of like music downloads and album downloads, mm-hmm. Is that what comedians do now? Is they're on like iTunes and Amazon and all the platforms like everybody else, and people, do you download like entire albums or individual cuts, you know, like you do with individual songs from an album? I mean, is there like one process, or is it like the Wild West out there?
It's kind of the wild. It's like with musical artist. It's, you know, many artists have their material available in multiple mediums. So, you know, the top ones are, you know, go find it online. And a lot of them get records now. They don't really do CDs because, you know, people don't have CD players in their cars. Some are going back to cassette tapes for fun because people are getting back into cassette tapes. But mainly it's you're going to go streaming, or you're going to buy the album online, stream it online, or buy the actual physical vinyl record. And You can download a joke if you want. You can download a track, which would have one bit on there, and that's fine. But I think that the comedy record is an experience to take from start to finish, and you want to listen to the whole thing. So
it has, I mean, and you know, we're at the very end of the show. We're the caboose of the train of people that actually bought comedy albums and played them and listened to and laughed along with them. And I, I'm happy with all the advances in technology. I think it's great, but there's a little bit of that innocence that's lost, you know, as we move on. And comedy records were one of those things that did it. My next question for you is: are we losing you at some point really soon here? Have you put in your application yet for the new gig? Because I mean, when I think of who's going to replace Hoda Kotb at Today, I mean, you came to mind immediately, you know, that you'd be the one there with what's your face, Jenna Bushhager, you know, drinking wine on that fourth hour of the Today Show.
Don't get me wrong, I love a glass of cold white wine at somewhere around 11-12 o'clock in the day. But I have not heard back. I actually cornered Al Roker in the middle of Times Square, and I said, "Look, man, I know who is the best deal for this show
this is meant to be. It's meant to be in it."
And I have to say, as police were dragging me away, as they were carting me off into the police van, we made eye contact. He and I did, And I said, I want to be your fourth hour in the neck of the woods. And then, but I haven't heard back yet, you know.
Okay. Well, here's hoping.
Thank you.
Closed circuit message to, I think this is Americans for Prosperity. It just says AFP action. You can stop sending Eric Hovde mailers to me. First off, they all look the same. I'm holding them up to the camera.
He looks like an image you pull off the internet.
Yes, and not necessarily in a great way with that, you know, porn stash that he's got going there that he insists on. But I mean, it really is just pictures of Eric Hovde. Like this one here says, "Our voice for Wisconsin."
I've heard him speak. Not a great voice.
Yeah, and it's more of a California voice.
Are you getting them
voice
by the day? Because
seems like it.
Most of our mail is junk nowadays. We rarely get anything of like real substance. So we'll go like a day or two without even checking the mail because everything is important comes through email. Mm-hmm. And I'll have like four of them in my mail.
Yeah. And that to me, here's what it tells me. If the party that stands for the folks with a whole lot of money has a whole lot of money and uses it to send basically redundant mailers over and over again, it tells me you're not good stewards with our money. That, you know, you're like, well, I've got so much money, I've got it to burn here on 22 different political mailers. Like, I don't know if I want you handling our tax dollars. You know, I don't think that's going to work out so good.
I just also think mailers kind of annoy people. Like, I'll be perfectly honest. I throw them all away. I don't care who the candidate is.
Yep. Because here's what I learned from being a candidate once upon a time. In the time that it takes you to walk from the mailbox to the garbage can, and you have looked at it, you have now made an impression that you otherwise wouldn't have made. At least they're seeing something about your message. Now, if you're predisposed to not be for that candidate, it doesn't matter what it says on Eric Hovde's card. It ain't going to work for me. But if it's, say, a legislative race or something where you don't know the candidates and things very well, that's something that might stick out. That's where mail still has some degree of value, but I don't know why Hovde or his allies would do this much mail. Especially, I mean, look, there are voter files out there where households are rated on like a 1 to 5 scale from strong Democrat, lean Democrat, 3 is unknown or won't say, 4 is lean Republican, 5 is strong Republican. And by and large, these voter lists that these parties have are pretty good.
Yeah.
And if you're still mailing things to me, knowing where I stand, again, I'm not sure you should be running this particular campaign.
Well, and I think, you know, especially with a Kamala Harris campaign and I want to say with the Barack Obama campaign, when you're sending that many mailers out, it's in lieu of a ground game. And the ground game is important. It's knocking on the doors and talking to people. And even the people you know are strong Democrats or strong Republicans, you still want to talk to that base and just at least say, hey, we got your vote. If not, let's talk, you know. But mailers, some people got to become a waste of money.
And now I'm going to talk to Democrats out there. You got to stop texting so much.
Yeah.
My wife had the best idea. She's like, I'm starting with a certain dollar amount, and I'm just knocking $5 off every time a text comes in. One night we're at dinner, and she, you know, looks at her phone, and she's like, nope, $5 off. I'm like, please, stop. Stop.
By the end of this campaign, they're going to owe her money.
They're totally going to owe her money, and I'm here for it. When we come back, we'll do a little sports. We got Packer-Vikings game coming up, Brewers heading toward the postseason, Badgers playing on your radio, and more. We'll have that, plus unpacking some of the headlines next, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Friday morning when you're here. You're up north, live from Lake Wasota. I'm Pack Wrightlum.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that. Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites. and making obese people pay more for health care. And a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar. Something they finally did this year, shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us. Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Getting your start in farming is a big lift requiring a lot of resources. The new Starting Gate program from Ag Country Farm Credit Services is here for you. Starting Gate offers preferential rates and custom financing, discounts on financial services, scholarships, and educational opportunities. To learn how Starting Gate can help you, contact your local Ag Country office. Ag Country. Focused on ag. Focused on you.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matinair on Air.
It's really not the Beatles that are in today's history lesson 30 minutes from now so much as it's Ferris Bueller. And we'll have details coming up a little bit later on this hour. Aaron Civale pitched six scoreless innings for the Brewers in his last start before the postseason. Joey Ortiz hit a home run as the Brewers beat the Pirates 5-2 on Thursday afternoon to wrap up their road trip out to Pittsburgh. Civale allowed just three hits, struck out five. He is 6-1 in his last nine starts with the Brewers with a 2.57 ERA. So now it's home for the last regular season series. It's against the New York Mets with games at 7:10 tonight, 6:15 tomorrow, 2:10 Sunday afternoon, then a day off on Monday, and then the Brewers will host the wild card round of the playoffs on Tuesday, Wednesday, and maybe Thursday. It is a best of three. All two or three games will be at American Family Field. The opponent is TBD, as we described at length yesterday because of Hurricane Helene, which slammed into the Florida Panhandle, Big Bend area overnight, and is now bringing heavy rains to Atlanta. It has created a real mess with the baseball schedule. So whether it's the Braves, the Mets, or the Diamondbacks, those three teams fighting for two playoff spots, one of them will come to Milwaukee on Tuesday. One of them will go to San Diego to play the Padres in the other game. The game with the Mets tonight, pregame is at 6:35 on Civic Media Stations in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and in Oshkosh. The Badgers, meanwhile, play at USC. Pre-game from Los Angeles at 12:30 Saturday on WLAK in Amory, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, WRJN in Racine, Kenosha, and WRCE in Richland Center. The Packer game, I want to say on Sunday against the Vikings, will be on WRCO in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls, WRJN in Racine, Kenosha. And that's a 10 a.m. broadcast start on Sunday morning. And as part of that game, it marks the return of Aaron Jones. And yes, he says he is already envisioning a Lambeau leap if he is able to score a touchdown against his former team, the Packers. Greg, I think Aaron Jones is a beloved figure in Green Bay, but my advice anyway is don't do a Lambeau leap. I mean, because not that anybody's going to be mean, but don't do it. Just leave it at that.
In my heart of hearts, it's like, oh, that's really sweet, but I'm also like, dude, it's not your team anymore.
It's not your team, and you're going to have a very bittersweet feeling what do they used to call it at County Stadium? The two-fisted slobberer. You know, if one guy decides to pour a beer on you because, you know, you're that guy from the other team leaping up into the stands. Just enjoy the moments you had with Green Bay.
Just wave to the fans, put your hand on your heart, let them know that they're still with you. That's great. Yeah. And the two-fisted slopper was one of the best inventions for the Milwaukee Brewers ever, and there should always be a two-fisted slopper t-shirt in the pro shop.
Amen. Yes. That's the take of the week, ladies and gentlemen. Just go ahead and frame that one and hang it on the wall. Love that. All right, Congress passed another stopgap spending bill. That's another way of saying that Congress couldn't get the job done, which is not a big surprise since Republicans took over the House of Representatives almost 2 years ago. It has been nothing but dysfunction, starting from their inability to pick a speaker and then firing a speaker and consistently deciding to go with conflict rather than compromise. And so it has left everybody kind of waiting. It's left improvements undone. There should have been a farm bill a long time ago that could have made more improvements to Wisconsin's rural economy. But with Derek Van Orden on the House Ag Committee, absolutely zilch has gotten done there. And yet, Van Orden and Tom Tiffany and over in the Senate, Ron Johnson, all voted against the stopgap funding bill, meaning if they had their druthers, they'd rather see a government shutdown with less than 6 weeks to go until the election, which would only be political suicide. But for them, it allows them to stamp their feet and say that, you know, they're the big fiscal hawk. Van Orden said in a statement he opposed the measure, quote, to save American agriculture. Dude, you don't even know what that means. Yeah, I voted no to save American agriculture. I seriously want to ask him, what do you mean by that? There's nothing about that vote that saves American agriculture. There is so much work to be done to improve the farm bill. And instead, you have seen the Biden-Harris administration make investment after investment after investment. We talked to Julie Lassa earlier this week about it. The other day, I talked to White House senior advisor Neera Tanden when she came through Chippewa Falls. I'm waiting till Tuesday, I think, when Hans Breitenmoser joins us, and I'll play back her answers to the questions that I asked about Project 2025 and about what Trump tariffs would do to Wisconsin agriculure if Trump were to win and, start another trade war back in office. Congressman Mark Pocan posted on Twitter, he called Van Orden's response about saving American agriculture, he called it asinine. He writes, not only did Derek Van Orden's Republican majority not pass a farm bill before the September 30th deadline, he was willing to close down all of the federal government to make Donald Trump happy. Ron Johnson did not have a comment. Tiffany said to WisPolitics, if we fail to secure our elections and fail to secure our borders, we are not a sovereign nation. Again, dude, with all respect, what are you talking about? We are a sovereign nation. We have borders. We have elections. You're trashing our elections. You, who actually voted against and favored a lawsuit that would take away the votes of Wisconsin voters in 2020. You should have resigned from office right then and there. But you're still saying, well, we need to secure our elections and secure our borders when you have brought nothing home. You have nothing to show for what you've done in Congress for that $170-something thousand a year paycheck that you've received over the past nearly 2 years. And so we will limp along like this again until December, where there might be some kind of a lame duck session. And then again, early next year with a new president and with a new Congress. We don't know how it's going to work out. Will all of them be of the same party? Will we have split control again? If we have split control again, maybe this time we could get some leadership rather than endless conflict and get things done in D.C. But that's all in your hands, dear voter. Kia Vakil is coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It's been a while since Wisconsin had headlines about new dairy processing coming into the state. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. But there is a lot of dairy processing investment happening across the United States. Bryce Windecker is a dairy producer, also a broker analyst with Everag. He's in New York State, and he said they're experiencing a real surge in investment for dairy processing of all kinds of food products.
So there's a Great Lakes cheese plant in Western New York that cotton wrap cheese as well as the production manufacturing of it. Fairlife should have a plant ready in 2026 or 27, and that'll be the aseptic shelf stable milk. And then there's also a couple of ice cream plants, and then some more expansion into a little bit more fresh fluid production.
That's Bryce Windecker. He's a broker analyst with Everag. He's also a dairy producer himself, and he says that new investment in processing in New York State has got dairy farmers there excited. Markets in overnight electronic trade on a Friday morning, probably not going to get you excited. Details on the way.
On a dairy, decisions are never made in a vacuum. Your products, technologies, protocols, they're all connected. Or at least they should be. Introducing Empower Dairy from Merck Animal Health, the only full solution portfolio in the dairy industry. Empower is more than just powerful identification, monitoring, and biopharma tools. It's about how they work together to eliminate guesswork and solve specific problems. Learn how at m-power-dairy.com.
You've got choices. You've got options. And selections, favorites, picks, takes, votes, preferences, leanings, whatever you call them. What's important is that you've got them. At Wiffles Hybrids, we've made our choice to remain an independent U.S. farm family-owned company, free to make the best decisions for our business and that of our customers. So make your choice, or whatever you call it, and plant your independence. Wiffles Hybrids.
On Thursday, the barrel cheese dropped another 2¾ cents to 240. 40-pound block cheese was down 3 on Thursday to 214.5, and AA butter dropped 7. It's at 279 a pound this morning. Fluid milk contracts for October that go into cheese down 4, 23.28. So far, December corn is unchanged at 413. November soybeans are up a nickel at 1046, and the December wheat currently down 4, 580 a bushel. So just a quick snapshot on where numbers stand, rolling into a Friday trade session. Don't forget, we'll see you next week, World Dairy Expo. Follow along, Midwest Farm Report on Facebook. I'm Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This little summertime in September thing we have going on here is going to hang around through the entire weekend. Today, sunshine, 81 our high this afternoon. Tonight, clear, low of 52. Tomorrow, sunny, 80. Then on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high right around 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
The Second Amendment is designed to keep the power in this country with the people.
It's not the Second Amendment that preserves power in the people. It's elections, you moron. A dictator like Donald Trump that is a king and immune from prosecution, that is what erodes democracy. Kamala Harris and Uncle Tim Walz, they own guns. Nobody's coming for them. Chillax, Glenn. Get yourself some facts.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dorothy Harms from the Farmers Angel Network joins us, as well as Dan Schaefer at 11 o'clock, and another edition of This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Oh, there it is. Tame Impala tells us we're getting close to the weekend. Ms. Kia the Keel is here, as always, on these Friday mornings. Hello, my favorite harbinger of the coming weekend. How are you?
I am well. I'm glad the weekend's almost here. and I'm glad there's only, what, six more until the election?
Yep. We're getting there. Now, here's the thing. We're not even going to start with, the presidential election and all of that. We're going to start with the thing that could have really upended it, but it didn't. And as I mentioned earlier, Congress did pass another temporary spending bill, no thanks to Derek Van Orden and Ron Johnson and Tom Tiffany. But that notwithstanding, Kia, the fact that we even got to this point again is, in my mind, such an indictment of Speaker Mike Johnson. Yeah, and he couldn't get anything done, much less Trump's demand that they go for a shutdown. If you assume for a moment, Kia, that Republicans hold the House, what are the odds that they stick with Mike Johnson as Speaker?
Oh, don't ask me to predict what House Republicans are going to do. like playing roulette. And I think they would probably keep him just because we saw what the last time they got rid of someone turned out to, and that's what led to Mike Johnson. So, you know, if you draw conclusions from that, and if you believe that things can always get dumber and worse in politics, like I do, I think they have to stick with him. I also don't expect that they're going to hold the House. They've had 2 years and have flailed at every opportunity, have done literally nothing of note. Every one of their even like sham impeachment investigations has failed and like flamed out in spectacular fashion. You know, Mike Johnson's, you know, five kids in a trench coat cosplaying as an adult. He's not a serious person, and no one in that caucus is a serious person. In the House Republican caucus, you know, there's a few folks who are lingering who, you know, have some bipartisan credentials, but, you know, the vast majority. So few. You can probably count them on one hand. And so, you know, if they do hold on to it somehow, it will be because of gerrymandering in states like North Carolina. But, you know, we'll be in for another do nothing Congress, which, you know, no one needs.
No. And frankly, that's the only thing, you know, that's worth mentioning here is that you've got these close districts like the third here. But between the third, Brian Stile in the first, you've got an open seat in the eighth. That, again, Wisconsin voters aren't just able to make a difference in the presidential election, but in whether we have a Congress that actually does things again. So just remember that when you're going, well, is it really worth it to vote? Should I take time? I don't know. Yeah, it really is. But this budget deal is also, and I don't know if it's being portrayed as such at the national level, but this really is a huge black eye to Donald Trump, who, like I said, demanded basically a shutdown. And, you know, Mike Johnson and the rest of the caucus was like, well,
I think this is a situation where other Republicans are saving Donald Trump from himself. I do not know why pretty much every other Republican knows that a shutdown right a month before a presidential election, as early voting is happening, clearly engineered by Trump and Republicans, would not look good for Republicans. You know, a lot of people like to pretend Donald Trump is this, you know, magic wizard of politics that make him good. He's not particularly smart. He is effective in some ways. Obviously, he's got a stranglehold on the Republican Party, but, you know, most of his ideas are atrocious. And there's a reason he lost in 2020. There's a reason most of his endorsed candidates in competitive races got clocked in 2022. There's a reason he's, you know, endorsed people who've now called themselves Nazis and praised slavery. He's not good at this. He just happens to be rich, famous, and able to speak to, you know, a very real sense of bitterness and resentment that exists in America, but has offered no actual solutions. And that's what he's trying to do by shutting down the government. It's just trying to stoke fury and anger at immigrants who, you know, if they're undocumented, cannot vote. So it's all just BS.
So who then is doing anything in terms of proposing something for the American people, for the middle class? It appears to be over on the other side of the ballot there, where Vice President Kamala Harris has said among the things that she would do would be to build on the prescription drug benefit that we find in the Inflation Reduction Act.
Yeah, so that law, you know, reduced capped monthly insulin costs for seniors on Medicare to $35 a month. It also, starting, I believe it's next year, implements a $2,000 annual cap on out-of-pocket prescription drug costs for seniors on Medicare. And she has said she wants to expand those to all Americans, so not just seniors on Medicare. It would cover you and I. So, you know, if you have a diabetic in your family and they're spending $500 a month on their insulin or rationing their insulin because they can't afford it, because these pharmaceutical companies price gouge the hell out of us here, Kamala Harris's plan would get rid of that and make sure you can only pay up to $35 a month. She also wants to accelerate this other provision of that law that allows Medicare to negotiate drug costs for seniors drugs. Starts with 10 in 2026, 10 drugs, and then 15 and then 20 in the years following. She wants to speed that up and increase the number of drugs covered so that, you know, seniors are not, you know, scraping by, skipping meals to pay for medication they need. As we know, as you get older, you need more medication, you need more medical interventions. And there's a reason Medicare was founded, and it does a remarkable job of, you know, keeping seniors from going into homelessness or dying before they need to die, and, you know, dying younger. But drug costs are out of control, and so she wants to lower those. That's not the only thing she's obviously proposed. She wants to expand the child tax credit for working families. She wants to cap childcare costs at 7% for working and middle-class families. She wants to make it easier to build homes and make it easier for first-generation homebuyers to buy home, or first-time homebuyers to buy homes. You know, there's a whole host of plans out there, and we have done a bunch of stories on them. We have more in the pipeline over at our Courier Newsroom sites. And, you know, on the other side, you have really only two policies that repeatedly come up. One of them is deporting undocumented immigrants. That is the beating heart of the Republican Party right now and the Trump agenda. And the other one is tariffs. We see him talk over and over again about tariffs, and, you know, which are basically taxes on imported products and goods. You know, in a vacuum, some tariffs can be good and helpful. But when you want to impose a 10 or 20% tariff on everything, including food that we import from other countries, and, you know, 100 or 200% tariff on everything from China, you're going to upend the economy in ways that we cannot even predict.
Trump, meanwhile, when you mentioned that early voting is already underway in places, yep. Did he really refer to early voting as stupid in the past few days?
I'm sure he did. I have actually not seen that. But if you asked me to bet all the money in the world that I have, which is not that much money, but, you know, it's not nothing, I would bet on it. Because, yeah, he routinely says things like that, that are driven by bitterness and anger. You know, he thinks early voting and mail voting cost him the election in 2020 and not the fact that, you know, he couldn't get out of his own way. So, yeah, I totally believe he said that.
Here's the thing. And he's half right. He's also still telling his supporters to vote early, even as he criticizes it. So much like the debate question on abortion, if there ever is a second debate with Kamala Harris, I think one of the first questions should be, you know, you're flip-flopping all over this. What do you want? And I think really we're just grasping at anything for excuses. Now, speaking of a man grasping for excuses, let's talk about the mayor of New York City, which we have not talked about on this program anyway. So can you give just a brief overview of what sure. New York City Mayor Eric Adams has been indicted for this week?
Yeah. So Eric Adams, the New York City mayor, he is a Democrat. He is a very moderate centrist Democrat who used to be the, you know, president of the Brooklyn borough, won the mayoral race a couple years ago, and pretty much ever since has stepped on one rake after another, implementing unpopular policies, saying ridiculous things. You know, he is another, you know, five other kids dressed up in a trench coat of a politician. Wednesday, he was indicted. In the past couple of weeks, a lot of his associates and staffers have been indicted or resigned or had their homes searched. And so on Wednesday, he was finally indicted on five counts of one count of conspiracy to commit wire fraud and soliciting foreign contribution and accepting bribes, another count of wire fraud, two counts of solicitation of a contribution by a foreign national, one count of bribery. You know, the long story short of it is he basically took bribes in exchange for helping Turkey, the country. And, you know, there's the indictment is pretty scathing. You know, it says he conspired with the government to get illegal foreign contributions to his campaign in exchange for acting on its behalf. He, you know, refused to acknowledge the Armenian genocide from, you know, about 100 years ago because he got these donations. There's evidence that he may have, you know, basically illegally received $10 million in public funds because of the way they, you know, I don't have all the details on that, but it is a brutal, brutal document. I've only skimmed portions of it, but, you know, it really speaks to just a blatant, reckless sense of corruption that is unfortunate and should not exist in our politics. And, you know, it is an example of the justice system actually working, despite what Republicans say. You know, this Eric Adams is a Democrat. Robert Menendez, the senator.
I was going to say, I don't hear the chorus of Democrats circling the wagons and defending him and saying, oh, this is a, you know, political persecution. You know, what have we said all along? If somebody is guilty of a crime, they should not be serving in elected office.
No, if you are corrupt, you have no business serving in elected office, whether you're Eric Adams, whether you're Bob Menendez taking gold bars from people in, from Egypt, whether you're my counselors here in L.A., three of whom were indicted over the past 5 or 6 years. Whether you're Donald Trump or Jared Kushner, you know,
I was going to say, can we open up the circle a little bit just to include, I don't know, Clarence Thomas,
taking trips from billionaires and then ruling on the. Yeah,
I think there's room to get back to that, those kinds of ethics. I mean, maybe I'm crazy, but I still see that that's possible. What I'd like to see then on the other side of the aisle is more people, more Republicans calling out Congressman Clay Higgins of Louisiana, right, for just a wildly racist post about Haitian immigrants.
Yeah, I mean, if Johnson is five kids in a trench coat, Higgins is five kids in a Klan robe. Like, it's just he is as racist as it gets. He repeatedly, consistently says things that are inappropriate. It is an indictment of, you know, just if our system is resulting in people like Clay Higgins getting elected and reelected despite the things he says, that's an indictment of our system.
I'd like to introduce you to Marjorie Taylor Greene then.
Exactly.
Let's look ahead to next week. Just a quick preview. There will be a vice presidential debate next Tuesday between Tim Walz and J.D. Vance. I'm sure both men have been busy preparing for that. I would expect that there's going to be, as often happens in vice presidential debates, I think the elbows are going to be a lot sharper.
Sharper. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I would expect it to be quite contentious. You know, both the candidates are from the Midwest. I feel like, I mean, J.D. Vance wouldn't know Midwestern nice if it hit him in the face. But, you know, Tim Walz, I think, will be like quite effective at using Minnesota nice, but to get in some real elbows. It'll be interesting. You know, J.D. Vance, I'm sure, is going to come out aggressive, hostile, wildly unlikable like he always does. And probably spread vile lies about whether it's Haitian immigrants, undocumented immigrants, legal, other immigrants that are legal, Democrats, women who don't have kids, teachers, everyone who he's already attacked. You know, I'm sure he'll attack Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. And I think what you'll see is Tim Walz respond like he usually does by pointing out that this is all an effort to divide us and attack, you know, attack Democrats and attack voters and attack marginalized communities to cover up for the fact that they have no actual economic agenda to improve people's lives or to protect people's freedoms on things like abortion or the ability to read books that, you know, talk about LGBTQ people or to be able to, you know, afford your medication. So I think it'll be interesting, and I do expect some sharp elbows.
I would predict that much like Donald Trump, J.D. Vance will try to come off as a moderate, thoughtful person. And like Donald Trump in his debate, it will last 3 to 5 minutes. And then something Tim Walz or more likely the moderator, since J.D. Vance loves to, you know, rip the media, will say something and the mask will come off at that point. But we'll talk about that a week from now as the VP debate is next Tuesday. Kiev Akil, thank you so much as always. Have a great weekend.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Matt LaFay for Steinhoffels. Since 1934, Steinhoffels has been Wisconsin's furniture and mattress destination for quality, selection, and service. Steinhoffels is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. This weekend, visit any Wisconsin Steinhoffels store, spend $1,999 or more, and get a $100 in-store or online gift card to the University Bookstore to get the latest Badgers gear and apparel. Relax, it's Steinhoffels.
Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. It's worth a look. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. This one goes out to all the grandmas and grandpas who are sitting on some extra money in your bank accounts. Today, we are going to talk about the gift tax exclusion. In the year of our Lord 2024, the gift tax exclusion is $18,000. That means you can give members of your family up to 18,000 American dollars as a gift without you or them paying taxes on it. Financial advisors call this reducing your estate. Normal folks like us call it giving money to your family before you die so you can reduce the taxes that have to get paid. If it seems like there's going to be some left over when you pass, this might be something to think on. You could use the gift tax exclusion to your mutual benefit and maybe even pass on some money lessons to your loved ones. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabe.
Well, if this isn't a nice song to kick off Friday's history lesson... Mr. Loaf had a hit with Paradise by the Dashboard Light. He was born this day in 1947, passed away a couple of years ago. Meatloaf for the uninitiated. Every Friday, I've told this story once or twice before. Well, every Friday while I was attending UW-Eau Claire, there would be in the women's wing of Governor's Hall, Fridays at like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, whatever it was, somebody put, you know, and of course stereos in the 80s had these big old speakers. You'd put the big old speaker in the window and they'd pound out Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
Oh yeah.
It was like the official song to kick off the weekend. In an awkward transition, the Society of Jesus, otherwise known as the Jesuits,
received... I never knew that. The Society of Jesus.
The Jesuits received their charter from Pope Paul III, this day in 1540. I feel like now I got to play... The next song should be Billy Joel's Only the Good Die Young, You Catholic Girls Start Much Too Late. But
oh, I was going to say some Gregorian chanting. Like, oh.
Okay, we clearly come at this from different points of view. That's all right. That's okay. Pop singer, actor Sean Cassidy. Sean Cassidy turns 66 years old today.
Yeah. Awful.
And this is when people say, why did disco take hold? Because in 1977, this was on the top of the charts.
Why so did we had to Sean do something Cassidy else. Take off?
He did not join his mom, Shirley Jones, and his half-brother, David Cassidy, on the Partridge Family, but he did star in the Hardy Boys Mysteries and had a couple of bubblegum hits like that. On this day in 1777, during the Revolutionary War, Lancaster, Pennsylvania became the capital of the United States for one day because the Continental Congress was on the run, forced to evacuate Philadelphia ahead of a British advance. Samuel Adams, not the beer, but the actual founding father, a cousin to John Adams, was born this day in 1722. We played Twist and Shout earlier by the Beatles. That song was re-released and peaked at number 23 on this day in 1986 because of its use in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Brad Arnold, the lead singer of Three Doors Down, is 46 years old today. If I could... very first national edition of NBC's Tonight Show with Steve Allen was broadcast tonight in 1954. Gwyneth Paltrow is 52 years old today. Lil Wayne is 42. Jenna Ortega is 22 years old today. And Avril Lavigne hits the big 4-0 today.
Oh, my God.
I love how every so often you hear a name and an age, and I think that's what you were doing that time, Avril Lavigne being 40.
Yeah.
Does that hit you in the feels?
Good.
Yeah, doesn't seem right. Dave Matthews Band released their first album, Under the Table and Dreaming. Singles included What Would You Say and Ants Marching. This album was dropped this day in 1994. So, yeah, 30 years ago today. That, again, that's going to hit some people. The album sold over 6 million copies.
We dump poop in the Chicago River.
Moving on, Pink earned her first solo number one hit on the Billboard Hot 100 this day in 2008 with a track from Funhouse. Today is Hug a Vegetarian Day. This is Morning TV Show Host Day. Why couldn't Hoda Kotb wait one more day? She could have taken advantage of that. Today is National Chocolate Milk Day, Corned Beef Hash Day, National Scarf Day. I think the fashion accessory, not so much the winter wear. And it's World Tourism Day. And it's Native American Day, in which, again, we salute our members of the Indigenous First Nations community. And going along with that is Ancestor Appreciation Day, so that we can all appreciate our own family histories wherever we are and from whence we came. Wanted to squeeze one more news story in here as well, because we had mentioned earlier Tom Tiffany, the congressman from here up north, voting I'd rather have a government shutdown than at least a temporary spending deal. It turns out Tiffany also was spreading a lie earlier this week. We told you about the case of how some duplicate absentee ballots had been mistakenly mailed out in the city of Madison. Now, there were already safeguards in place because there are barcodes on the envelopes that indicate the address, not who you voted for, but just whether you voted, whether you returned that absentee ballot. But that's not how Tom Tiffany put it. He put out something, including a tweet that included a picture of an absentee ballot showing no barcode. And he says, "My office has proof there is no barcode on the actual ballots. Here's a picture, no barcode," in capital letters. But again, the ballots don't have the barcodes. It's the envelope. And so eventually there was a response by Ann Jacobs, the Democratic chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, also on Twitter, who wrote, "I can't tell if this is just profound lack of knowledge or intentional farming of outrage. Both, by the way, are bad." And Congresswoman Gwen Moore told him on a post to knock it off, saying, "This is misinformation. You and I both have voted with absentee ballots in Wisconsin. You just did in the August primary and in four of the last five elections. We owe it to the people of Wisconsin to not spread falsehoods about election security." So again, be very careful where you get your political and election news from, especially if it's a politician who has previously voted to take away your vote. Much more ahead in the second hour of Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Northeast Wisconsin independent filmmaker J.B. Thompson, and it's a bar band Friday night, so Terry Barr joins us with new music and great conversation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
The Wisconsin Badgers are playing in California this Saturday, and who has it all covered for you? Todd Albaugh, host of the Todd Albaugh Show.
I'm going to L.A. It's the first time that the Badgers have gone out and played one of the new schools. The Badgers taking on USC.
Don't miss a show or any of the fun leading up to the Badgers-USC game. It's the Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon to 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.